parenting advice on Talkabout.
Now, a little bit later than scheduled, we come to our parenting coach, Margaret Gilbert, who joins me in studio. And you're very welcome, Margaret.
Thank you very much, Deirdre. Lovely to be here.
Enjoying the sunshine.
Absolutely. It's beautiful.
Long may it continue. Margaret, we're going to talk a little bit today about those teenagers who I always feel are a little bit in no man's land. They're probably too old and too cool to be going to summer camps. Still that bit young to get a summer job. They're lying around the house, probably eating their parents out of house and home and complaining of being bored. Does that sound familiar?
Very familiar, very familiar. But I suppose if we start with boredom, right, is a feeling. So we need to explain that to young teenagers and things. If you're feeling bored, give them personal responsibility for managing that. You're bored. What you need to do, we can explore their options and things with them. But I suppose what's very interesting at the minute is there's a huge scarcity of workers in the country, the world. If you ask me, we're flying to Amsterdam in a couple of weeks' time, and a lot of flights are being cancelled because there aren't workers all over the world. It's unbelievable. There's delays in Dublin, Cork, all over this. But young people, 14 and 15, can actually legally do some work.
Can they? I didn't think they could.
Yeah, it's governed by the young persons in the workplace legislation. Like, for 14, 15-year-olds, now there's a lot of rules around it, but they're allowed to do light work that's taken away from industrial work like factories and heavy lifting and all those kind of things. But they can work in B&Bs. They can do a bit in you know, glass collecting. They can do light work and light duties. Now, their hours are governed. They may not be able to do 35 hours a week, but they're able to do something like 14 or 15 hours, especially for the summer, because any young people working, the legislation is trying to prevent work affecting their school performance and their school attendance and all that kind of thing. So for 16 and 17-year-olds, they're allowed to work up to 35 hours a week. But for younger people, then the amount of hours, they're limited. They might be able to work between 7 and 8 p.m. in the evening, but not work long hours into the night. So there is a small bit of a gap there for parents to support young people of 14 and 15 begin to look for these light duty jobs out there.
Do you think it's a good idea? Because I remember talking about this on the show probably years ago, Margaret, and I remember saying that I thought it was a great idea when they're that young to get them to do some little bit of work. And I remember I was lambasted by many listeners who said, oh, for God's sake, they'll be working long enough. Let children be children. Let them enjoy their summer holidays.
I understand that, but what's the alternative? To have them at home on screen time, 10, 12, 13 hours probably in the day. And it's great for their confidence. It's great for them to be earning a bit of money, to have structure, to routine, to be getting up, to be meeting people. I suppose years ago, we exploited young people. I remember my own sisters, they worked from 7 in the morning till 7 in the evening in a B&B. Like, they might have got 2 hours off in during the day, which they were so far away from home, they couldn't come home for those 2 hours. So they just stayed there and you answer God. Like, that was kind of slave labour. Maybe for £6 a week was what they earned that time. Like, but now, nothing wrong with them having a few hours here and a few hours there. It's very good for them, their confidence, their self-esteem, they're getting out meeting people. And plus, we know our young people now are far better at taking instruction from strangers
than they are from their own parents.
From their own parents. So I myself think it's good for them. I'd be very much for them, especially if they're complaining. If they're going to be at home 7, 8, 10 and 12 hours a day with very little to do. I suppose 13 and 14, it's not cool having friends come to the house either. They say there's nothing to do, and there isn't. They're all on their phones, they're texting, so they stop a lot of that, whereas they might want to be downtown and they might want, and whereas all them are grand, but we must get a balance. 2 hours maybe of a day is enough downtown, not 6 hours downtown hanging out, not knowing what they're doing. So a little bit of work and a little bit of structure.
And what if they're too young or to get any kind of a job, or or we'll say that's not an option. They're because of where they live or whatever, their parents don't want them to work. What do you do when they land over and say, I'm bored?
Yeah, well, what I'd be saying is we need to support young people to structure their time constructively and productively. And I always look towards the mental health five areas of wellness. We'll sit down and do a structure and a routine with them on a computer, do you know, a Google Calendar or a printable one and things. Active. What are you going to do today for your 30 minutes of activity? What are you, now, if they're football, gym, or you put that, try and get them to put in something for an activity across the 7 days of the week, minimum of 30 minutes.
A day.
You're looking at giving. We lose, you know, we can be very ecocentric, stuck in ourselves and caught up in ourselves in our media. But when we're giving to other people, that changes. So if you have an aunt, an uncle that isn't well, if you have a woman down the road that has five children, a grandparent, do something nice for someone out there in the community. Cut a lawn for a neighbour, something for a friend. So ask the young person, how can you learn to give? We want to teach them to mind their mental health. So you sit down for your own mental health. You need to do these things every day, and I'll structure it across the week with you. We're looking at being mindful. When do you relax? Take time down from the phone. Do you listen to something nice on the radio? What calms you? What relaxes you? A mindful walk, mindful running, anything that way. Again, it's round the mental health circle of the five ways to well-being. Connect with people. Who have you contacted with? Now, we have the virtual connections, which are online and all that. But who have you physically connected with today? Have you phoned a friend? Have you gone down the road? Have you met with someone? Have you visited granddad? Who have you physically met today? And have that across the 7 days a week. And then you're looking at the Mental Health Ireland, their wellness five pieces don't include the social media.
Surprisingly.
But it's something that's destructive long term if you're just aimlessly on it and scrolling. So how much, agree with your young person, how much screen time is good for their mental health and their wellness? How much is needed, because they're the tools of our time, but how much is too much? And that they begin to learn that you use the social media and things sparingly.
So you think, have a conversation with them at the start of the summer and say, okay, you're not going to be on your screen every day, all day. So what do you think is a reasonable amount of time?
Absolutely. And sit down and structure out the day.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm just thinking of all the parents out there, because of course the secondary schools are finished now, and you know we're coming into the exams mm-hmm. being finished, so that this is going to be a huge issue played out. What about helping out at home?
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, I'm very much for independent living skills, so that when we have young people, if they're being handed breakfast, dinner and supper, maybe the summertime is an opportunity to start stepping back from that. Let them get up and make their own bit of lunch. Let them get up and make their own bit of supper. Sit down and agree with them what tasks and jobs around the house. You know, some children have hatreds. I hate emptying the dishwasher, whereas others might mind washing the floor. Do you know that kind of way? Agree with them what tasks they'd like to take on in the house, when they'll do them, and give them, we say to young people, you must do this and you must, but say, when will you have it done by? Some children rush and do everything 5 minutes before you come home in the evening, whereas other people like to be organised and they do it very early in the morning and they get it over with. So we have to let them within the kind of person they are, but okay, what time will you have it finished for? And one thing that I always say as well, if you have a mom and a dad out working all day, every day, whoever's at home, if it's age appropriate and if they're safe and they have the skills, should be putting on the dinner. It's not waiting for mom to come in to start all this, but I mean, the dinner's for everyone.
Yeah, so start peeling the spuds.
Start peeling the spuds. Start getting it ready so that it's a whole family thing. And I suppose the younger we start those kind of things with children, the better. But when you go into 15, 16, it might be negotiating around pocket money, time, I'll drop you downtown for your 2 hours, but this needs to be completed first. So there's a whole host of things there. But I suppose what I've looked at when you mentioned this topic as well is, we've 15 and 16-year-olds, and even junior cert people, undecided what they want to do in their life. This is a fantastic time now during the summer to do a bit of structured research on the internet, what courses are available out there, what modules are there, are they exam styles, just say UCC would be very exam focused, ITs are traditionally kind of project focused, work experience focused, what kind of a learner are you, which courses would suit you better, what ones have the modules, if I go PLC route, what do I need the honours in? What course will get me into what? It's a great time for exploring all that.
Absolutely. I'm going to hold you for a second, Margaret, because we must take a break. But just to remind listeners, and I know there are lots of you listening who are mums and dads at home with the teenage kids for the summer. The primary schools, of course, have another little bit of a way to go before they break up for the summer. But what has your teenager been doing? And do you have any question for Margaret? Do let us know. 083 300 3300. How has your teen or preteen been spending their summer so far? I know it's early days, but you might have a suggestion that would be of use to other listeners. It is 20 past two. We'll take a break. More with Margaret after these.
Parenting advice on Talk About.
Now, in case you've only just tuned in, we're talking to parenting coach and life coach Margaret Gilbert. She's here in studio with us, and we're talking about teenagers and preteens and keeping them occupied during the summer. You just touched on the subject of pocket money there, Margaret, before the break. And again, this is a bit of a controversial one. Some parents just give pocket money regardless, other parents tie it in with helping around the house. But I know there's a school of thought that says you shouldn't equate, you shouldn't reward them for jobs that they should be doing anyway. So what side of the argument do you fall on?
Yeah, I suppose every parent's kind of determine their own values and things around that. But I think it's very good to tie a little bit in with the pocket money, because it makes it rewarding and there's incentive and things in it. So, but a lot of it could be around social media use, how much money they get for credit for it, you know, whether they just use the family system and they have unlimited user. You know, a lot of it is often around that. Phone credit is often involved in it. These are, I suppose, I hear parents saying a lot of time children have a sense of entitlement. If they're getting everything handed out without ever having to think about where phone credit comes from, where the internet cost comes from, all the food arrives on the table, the treats, everything, without ever having to worry about, I think it raises an awareness in children how to manage money and how to be appreciative of it. So therefore, I think it's very good to tie things in that, you know, this is your pocket money, but this is the expectation following it. But then there are also jobs that we just do as a family. Like I mentioned earlier there, you put on the dinner in the evening because you're at home. That you're not going to be paid for that. That's not connected to anything. But maybe doing a bit of hoovering on a Saturday, everybody rolls in for 2 hours and we clean up the house or whatever. You need to, if whoever's at home needs to bring in the washing from the line if it rains. Do you know what I mean? So it's about that there are certain things around the house that we all just row in and do, but there might be a few privileges and things like the credit and all that attributed then to the pocket money. But it's about agreeing to that and sticking to it. But I suppose what's difficult then is what parents often find is when the children don't stick to it, the parents forget to withdraw the money, or they find that part hard and it's not given, and so there can be a lot of aggro there and to and froing. But if it's set out and both parties stick to their side of it, it works very well.
And why is it that children, and I know this is a bit of a sweeping statement, but the majority of children will kick the traces if you try to get them to do any form of housework. Why is that? Is it just that they don't realise that life isn't all about entertainment?
I suppose if you bring it back to what a person is reared with, we shouldn't be doing for children anything they can do for themselves. So, I mean, parents are living busy lives. They're getting up, they're rushing for work. They're throwing clothes quickly on children. We're tying shoes, we're packing the bag, we're getting out the door. They're all the things children should be doing for themselves. So they're learning, they're reared with an expectation that everybody else will do everything for them. So then change that and then they can't understand what's gone wrong. He's worked this way for 8 years. Now, all of a sudden, you'd think
I'm expected to work
and do some jobs.
A listener's been in touch and says, Margaret, I have an ongoing battle with my 13-year-old to keep her bedroom tidy. It's like a bomb hit it most of the time. Any advice? Yeah, there's a familiar one.
Yeah. I suppose when I see the bedroom, right, it's about the young person's kind of personal space. Of course, the parents always have the authority to enter it and check it if they thought there was drugs or drink or something untoward going on in there. But at the same time, it's the young person's space. It lets them try out whether they want to live in squalor, whether they want a nice, clean house, where, and how they want to live and how to experience it. So sometimes, I remember years ago, I saying to a woman that, you know, every time I pass my daughter's bedroom, it really drives me absolutely berserk. I said to her, "You idiot," she said. Now, there was an F word in there. I said, "Why don't you shut the door?"
Yeah.
She said,
"That's
shut
simple.
The door.
And don't look in."
Don't look in, because she says, if she's short to clothes, she has to bring them to the washing machine. If she's nothing to wear going outside Saturday night, she has, if she mixes all her clean clothes with her dirty clothes, whatever, that's her has to sort all that out. But we're going in there. We know they're going out Saturday night. We need their pants. We want this. We want... Make a few rules around, are you okay with them eating food in there? If you don't like that, then you could make a rule that there's going to be no food or what have you in there. But it's often a space for the young people to try out what kind of people they want to be, whether they're lovely, tidy, neat.
So do you reckon you're as well off to just let them live in the squalor for as long as they'll tolerate it?
Yeah, I suppose you could sit down and do a contract with them that their sheets have to be changed once a week and that they have to hoover once a week or something. But my opinion would be kind of, once it's not so dirty that it would encourage rats and mice, I'd be letting it.
Oh my
so,
God.
Because young people have different standards to us, and different people have different standards. And sometimes when we step back from it, they actually step up and keep their room lovely.
Do you think the penny would eventually drop with them, that they'll eventually say to themselves, if there's a friend coming round or whatever, God, I better tidy this place up?
That's what usually happens. There's someone coming, someone might see it, and then they tidy up. And that's their motivation for doing it. Whereas they're not motivated to have a very clean room. They're not motivated to have everything tidy. But sometimes when they're left alone with it and they're short to clothes and their clean ones get mixed up with their dirty ones, and they're all, then they begin to realise, I'll take these and I'll keep them separate in the room and I'll keep the dirty ones over here. Or there might be a rule that the washing has to be brought down every Saturday, so that means the young person can go around the room and gather up the washing and take them down once a week.
And what are your thoughts on summer camps, Margaret? Because they're a wonderful invention, they're a great idea, but sometimes I think that we almost, and you know, I'm as guilty of this as anybody, that we almost schedule our children to within an inch of their lives, like their football camp the first week in July, drama the second week, something else the third week, and it's almost like we're afraid to let them be bored.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're managing them so they don't have to experience boredom, all that kind of thing. And boredom is one of those emotions that when we feel it, it often evokes the devilment in us.
Yes.
So if you have a young person that gets bored, then they must do something to stimulate themselves and get going again. So it's often probably devilment, or they get impulsive and they start doing stuff, especially children with neurodiversity or anxiety or something, they must step up and start doing stuff. So they often don't channel that appropriately. But it's about, they need space and downtime too. That's the Mental Health Ireland's whole point. Where in the day have that space to do nothing and be with themselves? We hear so much about, you know, people that break up in relationships and things don't go well for them in life, but they do want to be alone with themselves. They're not happy in their own company, and that's a huge issue later on in life. So we need them space and time and where they have to sit and do nothing.
This is it, absolutely. Would you believe we're out of time already, Margaret? The time goes so quickly, but you gave us some great suggestions there. Just before we finish up, and I was going to say this myself, we've had a lovely text in to congratulate you on your well-deserved recent win at the Connect Kerry Awards, where you won a Lifetime Achievement Award. That was wonderful. Well done, you.
That's right. I got an awful shock. I even had the shoes and the sandals taken off.
Oh my God, you had to put the shoes back on to go up to the stage. Yeah.
You wouldn't get them on at that time of night. So I went barefoot.
You went barefoot to accept your award.
I did.
Fantastic.
But it was an absolute fantastic honour and a fantastic night. I am passionate about working with families, and I believe, you know, it's okay to ask for help, because we all need it when we're caught up in the emotions and the feelings and all that kind of thing. So like they said at the awards, a lot of people are honoured so much when they die.
Yeah.
But it's great that, you know, to have the 25 years that I've been working with families honoured and things, and to be able to collect the trophy, you know. And my friends were laughing at me. I was dumbstruck. They said the first time ever.
They saw you short of a word.
Short of a word.
Well, it sounds like it was very well deserved. That lovely congratulations message comes in from all your family anyway. So I'd say you have a lot of fans out there as well. Margaret, just before we let you go as well, if anybody wants to get in touch with you.
Yeah, MargaretGilbertLifeCoach.com is my website. Or through the Early Year Support Centre on 086 138 2126 or on my own mobile 087 174 7813.
Great stuff. Well, we never got to touch on the whole idea of children looking for more freedom, so we might come back to that maybe next month. But for now, though, thank you so much for everything. And just to let you know that Margaret's parenting slot will be up available as a podcast as well. So if you missed any aspect of it, well worth your while to listen back. We're going to take a break, folks. We've a load of comments coming in on a variety of issues, and we'll be back with those.